peace and grace and mercy. All of it is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So this morning, we find Jesus in enemy territory. He has left the Holy Land behind, and he has traveled across the Sea of Galilee to haunt of demons and enemies, to an unholy land where a foreign and godless people lived. And as if to drive home the point that he was really not welcome there, at the very moment that Jesus set foot there, he was confronted by the forces of misery. He was just the kind of creature you would expect to find in an unclean and unfriendly place. We read, it was a demon. Actually, more than that, it was a whole legion of demons that was infesting this poor man. And the demon legion was totally uncontrollable. Apparently, it walked naked and it lived in tombs. It carried no possessions except shackles and chains as reminders that it could get free from any human attempts to ever control it. So this demon legion approached Jesus, and the stage is clearly set for a battle. But when the demon got close to Jesus, close enough to touch his face, the demon threw itself down on the ground at Jesus' feet and started to beg. It called, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, I beg you not to torment me." And Jesus was compassionate. Compassionate, it says, and stood quietly to listen to what the demon would say. And he said, the demon said, "I beg you, do not send me back to the abyss." And Jesus again showed compassion and did not send the demon to the abysmal land of demons, but listened for what the demon wanted. And the third time the demon begs Jesus, pointing to a nearby herd of swine, and says, "I beg you, let me enter that herd of pigs." And it says that Jesus showed compassion again and allowed the demon to do whatever it wished. So the demon legion flew out from the man and entered into the herd of pigs and flung themselves off the face of the earth. The demons charged over a cliff to the lake and submerged beneath the waters that were fed by the River Jordan. What is going on in here? What is this story? What starts off looking like a battle between good and evil somehow turns out to be a story of Jesus' compassion, a story almost about redemption. Why is this demon behaving like this? Why does it beg Jesus for mercy and to be allowed to destroy itself along with the pigs? I think that when the demon saw Jesus, it kind of understood who Jesus was. You see, all the demons in the biblical stories can see who Jesus is. And to them, Jesus looks like a window of heaven, if you will, a window in which they can see God's power and love and mercy. So the demon called Jesus by name and asked with despair, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what can there be between you and me?" And that is why the demon begged to not be sent back to the abyss, begged to be allowed to cease to be a demon, even though the alternative was being nothing at all. So the demon had seen God and known God and could not go on being a demon any longer. It's a strange story. I agree with you, to be sure. It's about the love of God able to convert even demons. But what are we to make of it? What does this story have to us today? Now, I won't make assumptions about you, but I personally don't believe in true-to-life demons. You know, like vile, supernatural beings that roam throughout the world and wreak havoc. I don't really believe that's real, so I'm not particularly afraid of that. But even so, demons are very real. Let me tell you what I mean. Let me tell you one thing about demons. In the old, old stories, way back when, in order to have power over a demon, you had to know its name. Now, you needed silver bullets for werewolves and wooden stakes for vampires, but with demons, you always needed the name. It was always about the name. To know a demon's name was to know its origin and its nature, and therefore have power to banish it. In that way, demons have always been more like ideas than creatures. Demons are very much like ideas, so back in the day, they were named things like Asmodeus and Mammon and Abaddon. Do you know what those mean? Revenge, greed, and destruction. Those were their names. So I'm not afraid of strange character with pitchforks and red pajamas because I really don't think they exist. They are not real. But let me tell you, revenge and greed and destruction, those are real. And they are invested of a life of their own, and they are fearful. These ancient and terrible demons still roam through this world, doing as they please, carrying their broken chains of every attempt to control them. You know that. In our own time, in all of our generations, there is still the short-sighted demon of Asmodeus, that is revenge. And revenge has flooded prisons beyond capacity, changing them from the goal of reforming the human spirit into places of cruelty and mental illness and humility. And then there is that seductive demon of Mammon, greed. Greed is alive, has made slavery commonplace again, with children from poor countries sold to rich ones, and the beauty of human life reduced to the monetary value of labor and pleasure. And then there is the bloodthirsty Abaddon, that is the demon of destruction. What is that? Warfare. War. We hear about that all the time, just listening to the news from the U.S., warfare. Warfare tells always to both sides that their war is just, promising always to both sides there will be peace and prosperity, but delivering neither peace nor prosperity to anyone. And the reason why we're having a refugee Sunday today is because of this demon of warfare. The woes of the world can seem so much far greater than anything that we could ever hope to exorcise. Greed and warfare and revenge have been around much longer than any of us, and surely the wise thing would seem to be steering clear of them and not to confront them. They could break free from any chains we place on them. But here's the thing. It was never our power which exercised demons. It was always the power of God. And the power of God is this irresistible love, the love that you can't resist, and the compassion. It is the kind of love and compassion that once you know it, you really can't refuse it. Even demons catch one side of it and fling themselves into oblivion rather than oppose it. We live by faith, And to live by faith is not to worry that the sum of all that we can do seems totally inadequate, that we will never achieve our goals. Because all we must do, all we can do to banish the demons of the world is to live the way God teaches us to live, with mercy, with generosity, and with depth of prayer. And if we do that, it will be God who is at work in us, because we are not ultimately responsible for guiding the course of history to its conclusion. God is God, and we're not. Our lives are like a thread, and God is the weaver of this new creation. And when war and greed and revenge and hatred and murder and deceit and chaos and hunger and all the demons that stalk creation get to know God's love and bow down before God with their noses pressed against oblivion, on that day, we can leap from our tombs and we will be caught up in a great song of praise. And we will praise God for all that God has done to free us. May it be so. Amen. Our hymn of the day is on page 14 of the bulletin. So the tune is a familiar one. The words are by Carolyn Frinfrey Gillette. So let us